Okay, well, we want to get back to our conversation that we were having earlier, Ron, and we want to bring back Slate writer Dahlia Lithwick and University of Virginia Media and Technology Professor Siva Varinathan. And we were talking earlier on, John, about this issue of whether teens who upload images could end up being convicted as sex offenders if they send those naked pictures of themselves. And the other part of the story that we're following is exactly who owns the rights to what on Facebook. And they had earlier said that they were going to be implementing this rule, and now that they've decided
that they own everything, they were originally going to say we own it all,
and now they said, well, we're trying to resolve this issue because there was a little bit of a social revolt online about this. And so what we want to do is just want to bring back our guests to talk about this, and I just wanted to get your take on this, Siva. Why do you think that Facebook would want to go down this road?
Well, yeah, it has to do with the fact that Facebook is like a gated community on the internet. And what it wants to do and what it does with our information, all the songs we like, the friends we have, what we're doing every morning, those bits of data are shared among a variety of platforms and sites within Facebook. And you need a license under copyright to be able to distribute that. And that's understandable because that's actually why we want Facebook to work for us. What we don't get to manage very well is what Facebook does with our information, how long it has our information, and what it does with it in terms of its advertising partners, which is how it hopes someday to make money. And right now it hasn't actually made any money. Now, so this change was sort of imposed overnight, universally, unilaterally, with no input from users. And it looked really scary because it was in legal language. And what it basically did was it said, it doesn't matter if you get sick of Facebook, if you think it's bad for you, if you think it was a mistake in your life, if you get off of it, your data stays with us. It's we have a license to it. It's not that it was their property, but they have a perpetual license to use it, reuse it, abuse it, and choose it. And,
so it
and
sounds
that was
like
a big problem.
Facebook is no longer going to be the fun, easy thing that it was supposed to be.
Well, I don't think it was going to make a difference in the day-to-day use of Facebook. It was going to make a difference in terms of Facebook's explicit relationship with its users. Its users are the reason Facebook has any value at all. Like we're the ones who actually create the value, and so this was a case of some very poor management of the relationship with the user base.
But it's a gigantic issue that looms not just – and I want to bring Dahlia into here. I mean, these copyright issues apply to Google. They apply to Facebook. They apply to all of these aggregation sites where stuff is picked up and can be – I mean, YouTube. I mean, there are massive rights questions that Facebook has tiptoed into the wasp's nest of, but I don't think there's any sense that this is going to be resolved only at Facebook. Dahlia?
I agree, and I think, you know, I agree with everything that Siva said, but I think I might change the metaphor and say it's not exactly that Facebook is a gated community. I think the internet is the Wild West. I mean, this is a just completely lawless terrain that we're trying to scramble as fast as we can to craft legal systems and structures that exist in the real world, out in the real world with real property and real copyright, and then to impose them on this world that is quite different. And I think that the overarching theme in both the Facebook case and in these sexting prosecutions is that we have this notion that our information is ephemeral, that it's just there when we want to put it there, and then it's gone when we want to take it away.
I guess the information being key, Siva, and this is why isn't there a distinction between, okay, there's a naked picture on the internet, fine, but you know who found those pictures? I mean, these prosecutors that go trolling for naked pictures on cell phone databases, that seems way more perverted than sending a picture to your boyfriend. Why isn't that illegal?
Well, look, we've had a pretty strong moral panic about nakedness on the internet for a number of years, at the same time that we've pretty much acknowledged that nakedness is what drives people to the internet. But when it comes to children, of course, we have to be particularly careful and we should not be flippant. But what we're learning here and what Dahlia is pointing out in her analysis of the situation is the dangers of the persistence of the status or the content. So in other words, just like Facebook will never let your stupid haiku poems go away, on the internet,
and
your
they shouldn't
content lasts
because they're
forever,
really good.
Right?
Have you read them?
So, look, you know, you don't get a second chance on the internet to fix your reputation. The damage that you do when you're a foolish 18-year-old. Like, you know, when I was 18-year-old, I could do all sorts of stupid things, say stupid things. No one remembers except for a handful of people who I trust and threaten every time they.
And we have them on the line, Siva. Right? Joining us now is no, actually, I'm just kidding. But before we go, I mean, we're down under a minute now. And is there any way to have technologically information posted that has a self-destruct that will go away after a year or a month, Siva, very quickly?
No, but we need to consider both laws and norms that take into
right.
account the fact that we should be able to manage our reputations in a variety of
right.
ways.
And managing
we use the
reputation.
Word privacy okay. by mistake.
I just want to give Dahlia the last word. Dahlia, is there a new institution here that we need very, very quickly?
I think we need the old institution, which is parents. I think parents need to teach their kids that information is forever.
And teach them about nakedness. Siva Vaidyanathan, media professor at the University of Virginia, thanks for joining us. Also, Dahlia Lithwick, Slate legal affairs correspondent. Some very interesting legal implications of behaviors on the internet. Thanks, guys.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.